Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, Egg Chasers. It's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, a podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. I'm Tim, that's JB.
Hello, Timothy.
That is Phil.
Hello, Tim.
If it sounds like I'm being a little bit more urgent than normal and wanting to just get straight into it, it's because I cannot take the excitement because the Six Nations is here.
Has this crept up on you? Because this tournament seems to have crept up out of nowhere. I'm only just getting over the trauma of the World Cup final. I've been delved deep into the Saracens scandal and then bang, out of nowhere, Six Nations time.
It's coming thick and fast, isn't it? Because every week it was Saracens chasing down relegation. Not hopefuls, the opposite's hopefuls.
Yeah.
Contenders?
Contenders.
Yeah, you know, there's a constant stream of news and all of a sudden Six Nations is here. I don't think rugby's big enough for all this news. It can focus on one thing at a time.
By the way, if Cillit Bang need a new Barry Scott, Phil, I think you just auditioned brilliantly there. Bang!
Bang!
And the Six Nations
bang.
Is back.
Bit Partridge as well. Apologies.
Well, that's what we're going to do, and that's our focus for this particular podcast. At this moment, we haven't seen all the teams. In fact, we've only seen Ireland's team, really.
Correct, yeah.
But we're going to wildly speculate on the rest of it. There's also a little quiz.
Ooh, a quiz, you say?
That we have. So I will get into that in just a little bit. But, we've got the Ireland squad. So as Ireland have been nice enough, Andy Farrell's new reign has meant we have something really tangible, some hard facts to talk about. Let's reward the men in green.
Yeah.
And talk about them first.
Perfect.
Powerful-looking squad. A powerful-looking team.
Definitely agree with both of those. Possibly the most settled squad and settled team. Not a huge number of changes. Mm. And some of the changes are guys that have played before and done it before. So Addison's in there. Toner's back in there, who's obviously done it a few times.
That annoys me. That annoys me so much.
Jack McGrath's back in there.
Yeah.
Has Toner played so well this season that you're like, oh, that makes sense why he wasn't included in the World Cup, but he is needed now.
Yeah, I feel bad for the player rather than anything else. Like, you miss the opportunity for a very special World Cup, a player that they sorely needed, by the way. I mean, really, really needed. And then you come back and you're like, hey, Dev, do you fancy coming back in and, putting in a shift? No, I wouldn't. But I guess that it's well paid and, you know, you don't give up on your country and all the rest of it. I just feel bad that he had to miss out on his opportunity.
Yeah, it is. Well, not a once in a lifetime, but it is a big opportunity.
Probably his last time.
It's definitely his last time. Yeah.
Definitely.
So that's disappointing. But hey, he's back and, you know.
Okay. Two selections I think are most interesting.
Yeah.
Scrum half number 8.
Interesting.
So
yeah.
Caelan Dorris has got the nod at number 8. Peter Amani dropped.
Dropped to the bench.
CJ Sanders shifting across the back row and Josh van der Fleer.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because I kind of like it when they rip everything up and go, you know, start from scratch. But they seem to be quite wise here. They seem to be blooding one new player very, very, very gradually. They've not completely turned over to the likes of John Cooney and whoever else might play. It sounds a little bit too sensible for my likings.
Well, it is. It's very, very stable. Mm. I mean, the whole squad is very stable. There's a few young books, Ronan Kelala, the hooker.
Yep.
Tom O'Toole's in there, who's a good young player. Cooney's in there. He's not very young, but he doesn't have many caps.
Yep. Old and inexperienced.
Like Willie Hines. But he's in. John Cooney is in superb form.
Second top scorer, point scorer in Europe. second top try. You might know. Sorry, it might be top point scorer and second top try scorer. Either way, he is probably, along with Vakatawa, Europe's form player.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Right.
And he can't get in the Ireland team. And there was a game just before Christmas between Munster and Ulster at Toman Park, and John Cooney wiped the floor with Conor Murray.
So here's a.
So I'd like I cannot understand it beyond Andy Farrell knowing he's done this.
Well,
a bunch of times, which does count for something.
It definitely counts. Test match animal, where it just means you're allowed to discount everyone else based on other people's lifetime achievements. I guess that's what it would be. I'd also pose the question that, do you want to keep this Ireland team together after they failed so miserably at the World Cup?
Well, that's every World Cup.
Yeah, that's fair.
And that probably comes up to me as the most interesting thing that leads on to the most interesting question, which is not who's in there, because with the exception of Caelan Doris, everyone in that 15 we've seen before. The big question for me is how they're going to play. Because under
Schmidt, Joe Schmidt's fault? That's what we basically are asking.
Well, it's such an interesting question, because you'll remember very well being in Monaco. Parts of being in Monaco. November.
I remember multiple minutes, but not consecutively.
November 2018, where all of the plaudits were going to Joe Schmidt's Ireland team. Player of the year, coach of the year, team of the year.
Yeah.
They won everything because they were untouchable. They'd beaten the All Blacks. They'd won the Six Nations. They destroyed England in Twickenham. They'd had a successful summer tour. Leinster had won everything.
Yep.
And since then, everything's been downhill. And looking back on it, as the pressure came on, that Ireland team, they just got more and more boring.
But was it the pressure on the team? Was it pressure on the coach?
Maybe a bit of both. But whatever, wherever it was coming from, that team just shut up shop and just got increasingly boring and increasingly focused on box kicks and one-out runners. And that is,
by the way, there's nothing wrong with box kicks. There's a lot wrong with one-out runners.
Well, if that's all you're doing, it's just predictable.
Yeah, it is.
And easy to combat. Now, that's the big thing for Andy Farrell and a lot of these team members. Can they change that trajectory they've been on?
There was a report, and I'm always fascinated by these reports written by men that couldn't possibly do the job that they're reporting on. But there was a report, and it was quite damning on Joe Schmidt, as in the atmosphere and everything else which comes along with managing a team.
There is a context there in that the relationship between Joe Schmidt and the Irish press was frosty, as you like.
Yeah, he wasn't a good press guy, was he?
He didn't like them. I mean, the team was always getting
leaked. Presumably, the press didn't write the report.
No, if you're referring to the report I'm thinking of, it was done by the Ireland High Performance, Elite High Performance guy.
Yeah.
And it basically absolved him, the Elite High Performance guy.
What?
And Andy Farrell.
Marking his own homework.
Yes. It absolved him and Andy Farrell, the new coach, of any wrongdoing and put it all squarely on Joe Schmidt's shoulders.
They should ask Joe Schmidt to write the report.
I don't believe there's ever a stitch up in rugby.
No. Not this sport. We've got values, don't you know?
Not
rugby
this sport.
Values.
Not definitely not this week.
So we'll see. I mean, they do look good. They look really good.
It's a good team, and Leinster this season have just smashed everyone in their path.
Yeah. Mm.
They have been unstoppable. So I think Scotland could be in for a pretty tough game at the Aviva this
Saturday. Yeah, Scotland have yet again got their selection role.
Well, let's talk about Finn Russell. So what is going on? So Finn Russell is currently in Dubai.
Living his best life. Finn Russell.
So can we just plot this? Because you know that scene in Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels where you have that little... where the guy takes a shot, and then there's like it cuts to shot, taxi, plane, land.
Is that not Cousin Avi?
I don't know who it is.
Yeah, it is.
Might be, but I'm just... Finn Russell's last week must be like that. So he was... Something happened in the Scotland camp that rumoured, but we don't know.
They tried to make an example of him, basically, didn't they?
He got asked to leave. He went back to Paris.
No. He left himself.
He did leave himself.
He left himself by his own accord.
Okay, left on his own accord, went back to Paris... Celebrated with a beer
and a victory,
after guiding Racing to a victory, and then flew off to Dubai for a few days to go and chill and party a bit more, which he was quite happy to post on social media too.
Yeah, I mean, someone tried, in my opinion, to make an example out of the best player. Because there are some signs in sports, I think quite famously with Dallas Cowboys, they did it. And whoever the Super Bowl winning, doesn't matter. But the whole thing was, he would always go after the most high-profile player to show all the other players that it can happen to them, so buck up.
No exceptions.
Yeah, but there are exceptions, aren't there? because it's Finn Russell, and you know he's basically called their bluff. So when they've asked him to, you know, they've confronted him on his drinking, he has a beer with his lunch. He's told he can stay with the squad if he wishes, but he will not be selected for the Scotland Games. He goes, yeah, I think I'm going to go back to Paris and play some high-level rugby and then go to Dubai and do some high-level drinking. And here we are.
I really like the idea of no man's bigger than the team. Everyone has got to have the same standards,
well,
whether you're the best player or
the
worst player.
Not always.
But if I was going to bend or break that rule, of all the players in all the teams in all the world, Finn Russell might be one of the few that I would consider bending that
rule. The equivalent would be go back a decade and it would be Sergio Parise.
Sergio can do what he wants.
The Italian coach 10 years ago could have walked into Sergio's room and found his wife in bed with Sergio. Oh, sorry to disturb you.
Yeah, carry on.
Finish. Then yeah, let me know.
Let me know when you're free.
So, yeah, and actually, Sergio Parise was able to do what he wanted in Stade Francais for a decade, let alone Italy.
Yeah.
Now, just back to your point, that's how a team has got to be. No, that's how a team's got to be if you, me and Phil play in the team. That's how it's got to be for us. But when you're Finn Russell, things do... You know, there are different rules for different people. I have no doubts about that. As it should be.
But we live in Manchester, and but everyone knows Sir Alex Ferguson's tenure at Manchester United. But the first whiff of anyone thinking that they were a big deal, they were gone.
But didn't Eric Cantona get to do whatever he wanted, basically?
Cantona was only there for a couple of years.
Yeah, he won the league every year.
And in fact, it's 25 years, I think 25 years this week since he kicked someone.
It is.
Yes.
But David Beckham, the second he got a bit big for his boots, you're gone.
But he wasn't that good. That's why. he wasn't Eric Cantona.
Oh, he was good.
Oh, come off it.
Eric Cantona was the best.
Yeah. I mean,
maybe the best.
Yes. So
Paul Ince gave himself the nickname the Governor.
Bye.
Asked people to go, see you later.
Guess I'll see you around, Gov. I do quite like that. I particularly like it when, you know, people have got a massively inflated opinion of their self-worth. But when their opinion of their self-worth is exactly what their self-worth is, much like Finn Russell, it doesn't work, does it? Because he can call you a bluff.
Yeah, and 700,000 euros or whatever he's on tells you otherwise.
Does it galvanise the Scotland guys that are there, or will they in the back of their minds just be going?
Wouldn't you just be thinking that is the most stupid thing I've ever seen? That is simply the most stupid. I mean, we had a chance of winning. There again, they didn't do too well with Finn Russell in the World Cup.
Yeah, would they be more annoyed at do you think the other players would be pissed off at Finn? They're not teammates with him now, but they know him well.
Yeah, I think there'll be differing camps, but there are a lot of professionals who take their profession very, very seriously. You know, rightly so.
It's hard to say, isn't it? Because, you know, this is... Yeah, fine. I mean, every club that's ever had Danny Cipriani has had to make allowances for Danny Cipriani. And I don't mean that in necessarily a negative way either. Like, he has to play in the way that he plays and so on and so forth. There's got to be a little bit of practicality when you've got genius in your team and you've got to make the pragmatic decision to let them get on with it. I don't think Gregor Townsend likes that one bit. So if I was a player, I'd be thinking, this is totally unnecessary. We had him in camp. He's looking great. I mean, did you see him prior to...
Well, his play is great.
His play is superb.
The only knock I'd give Finn Russell is sometimes he gives you an inflated sense of confidence just seeing him. So I remember in the World Cup game against Japan, I thought there's no way Japan can win this. And I base that purely on the fact that Finn Russell was able to juggle three rugby balls and kick one at the same time. So yeah, actually, to your question, it might galvanise him.
It'll be an interesting spectacle to see the reaction of the players. Because it could go one or two ways. They could all turn against the management and not perform at all, or they could all have that sense of unity, pull together and become more than the sum of their parts.
Yeah, I mean, sorry, Tim.
No, I was going to say, and you mentioned that Ireland had a really disappointing World Cup. The most disappointing World Cup of any home nation by a mile was Scotland.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's all relative, isn't it?
No.
Well, it is relative, but still Scotland not getting out of their pool.
Oh, yeah. In absolute terms, Scotland did worse.
Oh, no, no. And in equivalent terms, I would argue.
I don't know.
Ireland losing to... I can't even remember they lost to.
Ireland got battered by New Zealand.
Ireland got battered by New Zealand. So they went out limply in the quarterfinal, but...
And they lost to Japan.
But they would have lost to South Africa anyway. So they were going out in the quarterfinal, come what may. But...
It's a toss-up. I mean, look...
And their decline was gradual over the year, as Phil pointed out at the start. Scotland were in there in a pool thinking... And then they just went inside themselves and didn't play the rugby that we knew they were capable of. And they also lost... And this is what the Six Nations has to be for Scotland. You know, actually, the Finn Russell ball... Is their unique point of difference playing that kind of rugby with guys like Hugh Jones and Roy Hutchinson, that weren't at the World Cup? But actually, the thing that Scotland let themselves down on was their building blocks, their fundamental basics. Since Vern Cotter went, their set piece, their looking after their own ball, just
funny enough, I thought one of their best players in the World Cup was the lad from Newcastle whose name escapes me.
Centre Chris Harris. Who's at Gloucester.
He's at Gloucester now, yeah. He was playing on the wing. He's playing out of position on the wing.
Well, he had that one game where he got moved to the wing. He played terribly in the centre, moved to the wing, and then was the best
dominated
player.
Dominated
everything. Yeah. The Japan game, I think.
It might have been. But, yeah, there might be a situation where Duncan Weir's on the field. No disrespect to Duncan Weir. Everyone might think, I need to give 5% more. You know, this guy needs more help than Finn Russell does.
Yeah.
But Adam Hastings is actually a genuinely good 10, so...
He is, but they've got to take care of business in a way that they didn't at the World Cup.
I don't see a way that they beat Ireland, can you?
No.
Not in Ireland, no.
No. I actually think this might be a bit of a beatdown. I've got that feeling.
Yeah. I have that feeling too. I'm trying to pick out like areas that they might have an advantage, and I can't really think of any.
So did you, after the last three World Cups, there's been a Grand Slam? Do you know one after the last World Cup? 2016.
Wales was the first one.
2016.
2016 was England.
Sorry, England, I'm going back from the one.
Eddie Jones Grand Slam. 2012.
So after Wales. The 2011 World Cup. Wales.
Wales won a Grand Slam.
After they got to the semi-final.
2008.
Wales.
Correct.
When Gavin Henson picked up Matthew Tate and threw him on the floor.
Yes.
Wasn't that before that?
No, it was...
2008.
Oh, actually, it might have been.
I think it's before that.
Oh, no.
I think it's 2006.
Oh, no, because Matthew Tate played in the World Cup final in 2007.
Yeah.
Ah, so Wales, it would be Wales again before that.
I don't think it was a Grand Slam, though.
It absolutely was a Grand Slam.
Not after the World Cup.
Yep. So World Cup...
Oh, yeah, but 2006
not
was
2004. Not Wales didn't win a World Cup in 2004.
No, so 2011, 2000... Hang on. When did England win the World Cup?
2003.
So that
2004,
next...
there was not a Grand Slam.
Not in 2004, but in 2006 there was.
Straight after the World Cup, Wales won a Grand Slam.
2008, yes, but that wasn't when Gavin Henson. But that wasn't when Gavin Henson picked up Matthew.
No, Gavin Henson did it 3 years prior or 4 years prior.
No, he did it two years prior.
I'm not having this. It was straight after the World Cup.
I mean,
it was straight after the World Cup.
It wasn't straight after the World Cup.
Hang on. Let me.
2004, France.
I can name you the team.
France got a Grand Slam.
Okay. So
in 2004.
So we're going back four World Cup cycles in a row.
Yeah.
So Wales got a Grand Slam.
So
the year after
can
that,
you
then?
Check? Can
2 years after
can
that.
Can you
my
check
head.
The Six Nations tournament in 2000 then as well? See if it goes back five.
Ooh, yeah. Give me one second.
Point being is, we could well be on for a Grand Slam with someone, and if there is going to be a team
history
with a Grand Slam,
history demands it.
Oh no, no Grand Slam in 2000.
Okay, so the last four World Cups. The Six Nations Championship afterwards has had a Grand Slam winner. If you had to pick a Grand Slam winner for 2020, who is it?
England.
If I have to pick one, I think England. They've got their... Although they've only got two home games, this is their more favourable draw because
Ireland
and Wales at home.
Mm. Yes. And they could have... No, that's really disrespectful to Italy and Scotland. But I was going to say, they could have a Grand Slam wrapped up in 3 weeks.
They pretty much could.
Because France away, and then Ireland and Wales at home.
Ooh. My money would be on England. But I don't think anyone will. would be my...
Who do you think England are going to lose to?
That's a great question.
It could be France. It could be Ireland or Wales. Mm. So Ireland or Wales at home. So Ireland 2 years ago smashed England at home. I think Ireland... If I had to pick anyone, it would be Ireland would be the most likely for England to lose.
Yeah. I can't see it.
I can see Ireland or Wales sneaking a win at Twickenham, but you'd have to make England favourites. And I also think that there's the backdrop to this for me is, when does Eddie Jones' deal run out?
18 months from now. So it'll be November 2021.
Eddie Jones' deal runs out?
Yeah.
Almost exactly the same time as Warren Gatland wraps up the Lions tour? Just saying.
Yeah, it'll be 6 months after that.
Just saying. I don't want to get your hopes up, but I'm just saying.
Really? Wow. For that reason, then, can you imagine how much that would hurt Eddie Jones's pride if he was let go by England and Warren Gatland got the gig?
Which is exactly what they should do, really. I mean, if you want to win, if you want a guaranteed World Cup, you give the job to Gatland. Giggsy.
Point being, Eddie Jones is going to want to make it as hard as possible for England to have any excuse to get rid of him, so he is going to try. He is going to go.
Does he want the job?
He's not going to be bloody. We've seen new players in the squad, but how many of these new guys do you expect to see appear in the 15? Again, by the time you listen to this podcast, the team will probably have been announced. But
I don't know.
I don't think any. I mean, obviously number 8. We can talk about that, but
not in this Six Nations. I don't see anything happening in this Six Nations.
Maybe against Italy.
Yeah, perhaps. But in terms of a changing of the guard. The interesting thing will come when Saracens are relegated, and do they want to keep the core and the spine of that team? You'd say they probably do, because they're going to be ready for a World Cup after that. But it does kind of ask the question of other players who are playing really well in the Premiership. That's going to be the big hurdle for England. This Six Nations, I see, being pretty steady. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw almost exactly the same team, or as close to the one they can put out, that started the World Cup final, that will start the first game of Six Nations.
Which basically means that someone is in place of Billy Vunipola.
Yeah.
Besides that, it's pretty much the same team.
Yeah, I think he's going to put out the same team.
No, I wouldn't be at all surprised at that. I think the only other difference is you will see, I expect either Laws or Marrow to start at six.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be... That is the difference. You bring in Cruis for Billy Vunipola, Marrow moves to six, and then maybe Curry packs down at eight.
Curry at eight? No, I can't see that.
Someone small is going to be playing eight. It's more likely to be Ben Oyle.
More likely to be Ben Oyle.
You could have only one change from the World Cup final.
I'm just trying to think if Sale have ever played a Curry at eight. I'm sure it has, but I certainly can't remember it.
They will pack down there occasionally, but not often. Because John Ross would always go there.
That's
if there's
a guy
an injury.
I'd call up. English qualified, John. Why not? Great leader, great tackler.
Great tackler.
Good listener. Sensitive.
Handsome.
Handsome.
Very handsome.
Very handsome. I mean, why would you not call up John Ross?
Not what I'm going for.
Okay, fine.
I'm going for one tall line-out option at six and then two small scavengers.
The problem with Johnny Ross is he might be too broad for line-out jumping.
Too handsome as well.
Okay, so we still don't know who the number 8 is. I'm with Tim. I think probably Ben Earl is as good a shout as you're going to get.
It probably is, but it just wouldn't surprise me if they play a weird, like Hooper and Pocock.
Johnny May.
Well, you never know.
I mean, allegedly Jack Noll can play it. I mean, that would be one of his positions, right?
It would
one
be.
Of his, what was it, 11 positions that he can play?
Anything apart from tight five.
Mm.
But he can be a backup hooker.
Backup hooker, no problem. He can do that. Yeah.
How much do you think the Saracens thing will have any effect, if any, on England?
Zero effect this Six Nations.
It's interesting.
Over summer.
Joe Marler said he's been giving the Saracens guys loads of stick in camp.
I'm just sure that he's gutted that it wasn't near a microphone. Yeah, I'm sure he has, and that's actually, in fairness to Joe Marler, exactly what he should be doing, because that's how you get over these things. You expose at early doors and you laugh at each other, and then you move on.
Yeah, exactly. It's like when there's a tragedy, as much as people don't like it, actually, the
never liked him anyway.
No. When there's a tragedy, actually, comedians get are really important just to actually sort of like.
Is that why you're cracking jokes about Kobe Bryant?
Too soon. Get lost.
That is not.
Not funny.
I mean, it is quite funny.
But yeah, it is quite funny. See, the pressure valve has just been let off.
I thought your jokes about Kobe Bryant were funny.
that was very funny, JB. But let it be said, it did not happen. But that was funny.
So, England playing France then. Can we move on to France for a second?
Yeah, I feel like we should have some Benny Hill music or something.
I don't have it.
I don't know, but...
Let's have it loaded up.
It's just bonkers.
It's...
But exciting. I mean, it's
genius.
It's exciting and bonkers.
It's certainly a rebuild. It is definitely a rebuild. This is average age of 24. One player age 30. There is one player... So the one player age 30 is Bernard Leroux.
Okay.
There is one player with more than 50 caps. Do you know who that is? Any idea?
No.
The French player.
Bakatawa?
No. He's only 21 caps.
French player. Is it a second row?
It is not a second row.
Let me have a look at the squad.
So he's only 25, but he's got over 50
Fofana?
Caps. Nope.
Fofana's not in it, is he?
Fofana's about 33. Fiku is your man.
Nice.
Fiku. So 25 and 51 caps. They've picked three tens, all of whom are younger than Jacob Umaga.
That lad, who was the one I watched?
Wow.
I mean,
I watched for Bordeaux against Newcastle last season. Yeah. Jalibert, is that? No.
Jalibert. So Jalibert's...
He's somewhere else, hasn't he?
He was outrageous.
Jalibert's at Bordeaux. They've got Entomac, who might play centre, might play five half.
Yeah.
And they've got Carbonell, who...
What amazing names.
At Toulon.
Carbonell.
That sounds like a classic 80s French... Gallic flair fly half.
Doesn't it? So it sounds like a Lamborghini.
That epitomises the three fly halves in the squad are all younger than Jacob Umaga, which is astonishing. So this could be incredible because this is a supremely talented bunch of young men.
Mm-hmm.
France have won the last two under-20 championships, which shows the calibre of players that are in there. I just can't help but think with all these 20 and 21-year-olds, it might be a bit soon for some of them.
Mm.
And with... They've got so little experience right across the squad. There is
can't
so
win anything with kids.
Yeah, people have been proven wrong saying that before, but I can't see it in this because the physicality in international rugby is so great.
Yeah, you need to experience it. I think before you're going to really be able. Be able to muster it because it's not just the physicality. It's the atmosphere, the build up, the pressure.
Oh, yeah, the atmosphere of Stade Français or Twickenham or the Aviva or the Principality stadiums on match day compared to playing either club rugby or an under-20s championship is totally, totally different. So I love how bold France are. I think it will really, really benefit them in a few years' time.
What do you think the logic is behind this?
So it's definitely a rebuild.
They're
building for 2023.
Yes,
Home
World Cup. And the backdrop is their under-20 side has won the last two under-20 World Cups. So they obviously back them a lot. The other backdrop to this is they've got new coaching setup. This is Galtier.
Yes.
Making his impact, isn't
now,
it?
Now, Galtier has not got favourable write-ups as a coach. It's fair to say.
He's won a bit, though, hasn't he?
He has. But with French rugby... It kind of depends who spent the most that year. And also, haven't seven teams won the top 14 in 7 years?
Yeah, something like that.
So...
Everyone gets a go.
Yeah, everyone gets a go at some point. I'm just a little bit... I don't know. It's kind of worrying. I mean, I'm lying. I like it. I like it a lot. I like the fact that they've ripped it up and then started again and put loads of young, talented kids in.
Yeah.
That's great. But I'm only saying that based on the principle. If these were English players and I knew them, we would literally be talking about Jacob Umaga.
Yeah, and Alex Mitchell.
Yeah.
And Alex Moon.
And then you'd be going, hang on a minute, that's a bit different.
Yeah, fine for them to be in the squad. If they end up being frontline players, that might be an issue.
It'd be interesting to pick an English equivalent squad and see what that looked like.
It would be. My worry about this strategy is the French press and the fans.
Mm.
Because this is a strategy specifically designed to be competitive in 2023. If he gets smashed in the Six Nations and the next Six Nations, he won't make it to 2023.
Do you know what? I'd really be interested to see the average age of Stuart Lancaster's first squad.
Yeah.
That's because I think that would probably be not far off.
I think it'll be older than this.
Well, Stuart Lancaster started with, Owen Farrell? He bought...
In 2012. Did Farrell come straight in 2012?
So they had Flood. Flood disappeared to France. Farrell took over the reins, never looked back. He must have been... Well, he's nearly late 20s now, so he must have been very young. Robshaw was captain.
So he was the youngest captain at the time.
Yeah, I think he had 12 caps. Did he have a cap?
Did he have two caps when he was captain? He was very, very few.
So he had all of these kids.
So I'm just looking at the team... For England's first game in 2012, Charlie Hodgson started at 10.
Did he?
Yeah, Farrell started at 12, though, with Brad Barrett at 13.
Yeah, people look back at this time as like, we're like rose-tinted glasses for some of the Lancaster stuff.
It is a rebuild. The Locke partnership, anyone want to guess?
I'm going to go to Tom Palmer.
Tom Palmer, he wasn't in there, was he?
Tom Palmer was in there.
Yes!
And who accompanied him?
Steve Borthwick?
No.
No, Tom Palmer and not Simon Shaw.
Simon Shaw, I did retire after 2011.
So we're going back eight years now.
No, Curry wasn't in there.
Tom Palmer and...
Dave Atwood?
No. Nope.
Moritz Botha?
Correct.
Is it?
Well done.
No
Palmer
way.
And Moritz both with Jeff Parlin on the bench. So they also had, as starting at number eight, Phil Dowson.
Wow.
Dylan Hartley's obviously in there. It's not a vintage squad.
Incorrect. It's absolutely vintage. Read the rest of it.
So Foden, Ashton, Strettel.
Okay.
Back three. Barrett and Farrell in the centres.
Oh my god.
Youngs and Hodgson, 9 and 10.
Of course, so all three of those players were Saracens at the time, which people forget. Hodgson?
Well, was Ashton wouldn't have been then.
No, he'd be.
Barrett, Farrell.
Hodgson.
But then Strettel and Ashton.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, yeah. They might have been Saracens.
I think Ashton wouldn't have been. Strettel might have been. Might have moved from Quinns.
Tell you what, since you're doing
a
bit of reminiscing and stuff, and since you've got your grey matter working, why don't I do this little quiz?
Okay.
Good idea.
So this has actually been sent in to us, and it's worth reminding you that our email is...
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Is contacteggchasers@gmail.com. And if you have a quiz or any ideas or any thoughts, you can ping us there as well. Will Nice has got in touch.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the questions. Now, I'm going to save some of what Will's questions for another time because there was quite a lot. I've just cherry-picked a few for this particular Six Nations quiz. So, question number one. I'm finding something to scribble down on. How many Six Nations appearances did Sam Burgess make for England? That's question number one.
Hang on a minute.
In fact, let's do them one by one.
Okay. Are we doing them one by one?
Yeah, if you write it down and then JB can just say his guess.
Okay.
What's your guess, Phil? Yeah, JB.
Zero.
I have zero written down.
Correct. One point each. He made zero.
Was it Big Luth playing 12 at that time?
Do you want to hear a rumour that I heard?
Go on.
About Sam Burgess.
Go on.
Go on.
Allegedly. part of his contract was paid, obviously by Bath, but by Canterbury, of all people.
Okay.
Which is why he had to wear all the Canterbury stuff continually, and why he ended up in Bath. It's true. It's fascinating.
That explains why Canterbury loved us so much, because we were going on about how good he looked in that vest.
Yeah, and then ever since Sam's gone, where's Canterbury now?
But he did look good in that vest.
He did look great in that vest.
He looked amazing. Really
I bought a vest. Well, I asked for a vest. on strength of that.
Does it make me look more like Sam?
It did.
I can confirm.
Okay. Wales's highest Six Nations point scorer.
Of all time?
Yeah, so this is Six Nations, though. So this is the last. So within the last 20 years.
Oh, good. Okay. It's easy enough. Come on, Phil. Come on now.
Okay, let me write one down.
JB?
Times journalist Stephen Jones.
I also have Times journalist Stephen Jones.
Correct. Correct. Right. Three 18-year-olds have debuted for England in the Six Nations.
Okay.
Can you name them?
Mm-hmm.
Phil, get right.
Okay.
3 18-year-olds. Six Nations. Ooh.
Interesting. 18.
18's young.
Isn't it? Ooh. Nailed that one. One more. Miles Benjamin never got a cap, did he?
He played for Saxons. That's it's one of the biggest shames.
Yeah, it really is.
It's one of the biggest stains on rugby's reputation. Think what he could have brought to rucking at international
exactly.
level.
Exactly. I've got two. Ha!
I don't think he was. I'm going to delete him and put him
don't
in.
Don't worry about it. I've got all three. Okay. Do you want to know all
okay, you've got three written down for
I've got three I've written got three. Down.
Hang on. Would seven... No, hang on.
JB. First answer.
Matthew Tate.
I have Matthew Tate.
Both correct. That's 3 points each. JB.
Sir Johnny Wilkinson.
Phil.
He would have been over 18 when the Six Nations started.
Oh, God. Six Nations games.
Six Nations.
Damn it.
So I do not have Johnny Wilkinson.
Oh, well, we might. Johnny Wilkinson is an answer.
Yes!
But
if Six Nations started in... 99
because he was
or 2000
18 wasn't
oh,
he
no.
playing in the World Cup
he played in the 97 World Cup
yeah I'll say centre
oh we might have a technicality here
oh dear yeah.
I might just well, have to, well, we'll have to write that one off because you're right strictly speaking it's not Six Nations but Wilkinson was one of the answers I have written down
I've got one which is apologies. Way out there
and then so
I've got two written down now
okay
but so I still get my two guesses because you had a wrong guess.
Okay, go.
Yes, you still get your two guesses. So give me another answer then, Phil. only one of them can be right anyway. So you're
come on, Phil. Chop.
So my two, I'll go for the one first on here. I've got, as a guess, Shane Geraghty.
Incorrect.
Your next answer, JB, your final answer?
Allow me. Nick Duncombe.
I do not have.
Incorrect.
No!
My last one is a total guess. And it's Jordan Turner Hall.
No. Tom Curry.
Oh.
So I did have Tom Curry written down and I deleted it because I thought it might be too obvious.
Duncombe, how old is Nick Duncombe then getting his cap?
I've no idea.
Hang on. He was young.
He might have made his debut in a Five summer Nations. Tour or something like that rather than a Six Nations match. When you actually think about it like that, it's quite a big deal to get a debut in a Six Nations game. Full stop.
Yeah.
Let alone aged 18. Because a lot of players get their first taste of international rugby on a summer tour.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, hang on. He played for... he didn't even get capped. He played at the Barbarians. But he was young.
Right, so... you both got 1 point from that, out of that. Because there was only two points really on offer.
Yeah.
So, 4 points each. So, Now, there
are... Oh, Christ, we're still playing the quiz, yes.
There are six questions left.
Okay.
Well,
okay.
6 points left on this one question. We're going to go through them one by one.
Right.
And this, okay. is about the six trophies that are contested within the Six Nations. You just have to name the two teams that
easy.
Will be playing for each of these trophies.
Okay.
First one, nice and easy, which I can just give you the point. England v Scotland. Calcutta Cup. I meant to say it the other way around.
Yes.
Anyway, so you know that one. So next one, the Millennium Trophy. The Millennium Trophy is played between which two teams?
Crikey. I actually don't know this.
I've got no idea.
I wasn't aware of this either.
Wales and Ireland.
Phil?
Might be a good shout. I'm going to say Italy and Wales.
Both incorrect. It's England v Ireland.
What?
I know. I didn't know that. The centenary, and I apologise for my pronunciation of this. The centenary quake.
Quake.
I think it's quake. Centenary quake.
So it's something you drink out of in Scotland. It's like a whiskey. Do you remember having one at a friend of the pod, CJ's wedding?
I certainly do.
Mm.
Centenary quake is played between. You've given him plenty of
clues. More
Scotland
you
and Ireland.
You gave him more information than you need.
Definitely.
Scotland and Ireland, centenary? Yeah, Scotland and Ireland.
That's probably right.
You can go with it as well.
I'll go for it.
Yeah, you're both correct.
Yeah.
You did give him too much information.
Yeah, way too much information.
I've got that.
So 6 points apiece. The Giuseppe Garibaldi Trophy.
France, I know this. Italy.
Correct.
Yeah, okay. 7 apiece. The Old Alliance Trophy.
Oh, so I assume it's no longer an alliance. And who are they allied against? England, Wales, Scotland.
Yeah, Wales, Scotland is what I'm going for.
It's France v Scotland.
Oh, so they were allied against England. That makes sense.
Mm.
Okay.
Treacherous.
Finally, squeezed. Doddy Weir Cup.
Scotland.
Wales?
Scotland. France?
Scotland, Wales?
No, we just had Scotland, France. Scotland v England. No, that's for Calcutta.
Scotland, Wales.
What are you saying, Phil?
Scotland, Italy.
Scotland, Wales.
JB takes it. Scotland, Wales. My tiebreak question was going to be, what's the name of the Welsh goat? If there was a tiebreak, which there wasn't.
Gavin Henson.
Yes, he is.
Greatest of all time. Don't know. What was the name of the goat?
I've just completely forgotten.
You're having a great day today, Tim.
No. Well, it's called... Oh, what's he called? Oh, forget it. There's a name for it, and Schenkin. That's right.
Shanklin?
Schenkin.
Oh, right.
And they're on to the 7th Schenkin. And the...
Maybe they should look after them better.
The goat mascot is a lance corporal.
Is that right?
Oh, no. Yeah. He gets... The goat that walks out around the Principality Stadium has a rank.
And it's higher than some actual soldiers.
Probably plenty of
seniors to some soldiers.
Unless it's named after someone, yes. But I don't know. I don't know enough.
Amazing.
I should have really thought about this a bit more.
That was a stunning quiz.
It's a great quiz.
Great quiz. That's probably our best quiz ever.
It's got me into the spirit.
Yeah, you won anyway. What do we talk about now? How'd you follow that?
Well,
Wales?
There's one more game.
Yes.
Should we do predictions at the end?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, we didn't really say anything about France, and then we don't know who they are, and it's...
It's exciting, isn't it? It is exciting.
It's exciting.
Now, as much as I actually don't like the principle of... it's such a football thing to do, to go... I mean...
Get the kids in.
I work on the same floor as TalkSport, and after every... I work in the same company as TalkSport, and you listen to the people calling in, and after a World Cup, it's always, get the kids in! Get rid of anyone over 30! Get the kids in. And I can't stand that. No, win the next game,
yes,
and then keep winning.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And the turnover will happen naturally.
I say get the kids. There's a balance. There's a balance.
It's no point just having kids who are getting hammered every week. You've got to win, and you've got to do it at the right time.
Yes, that's fair.
Well, the kind of hammered every week that Finn Russell's doing at the minute in Dubai, maybe. but yes. So anyway, it's exciting to see France. Can that madness work. If there was a country that can make that sort of eccentricity and madness work, then yeah. And the fact is, we don't know a lot about a lot of these players.
Can I say Gaultier is in trainers?
Gaultier is wearing trainers with a suit.
Yeah.
What is this?
It's a sort of Mediterranean
Augustine P shape.
That's what they do. Yeah. It's culture.
I think all of the.
We mustn't judge.
Either all of the Pumas or all of the Jaguares team I saw in one team shoot were all in suits and trainers.
Yeah.
It's okay. You could almost get away with it if you take the tie off, undo a couple of buttons on the shirt, so it then. But when you wear a tie like Gaultier is there, there's no place.
It's hard to say, isn't it? It's
no
hard
place
to say.
For white trainers.
Yeah.
By the way, Olivon.
Look at his quads.
Yeah, exactly what I was thinking.
Standing quads.
He is a big, strong boy.
Isn't he just?
We have been robbed of Camille Chat.
Why?
He's out for the first game.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a shame.
That neck that starts at the top of his head. We're going to have to wait for later on in the tournament.
As me and Phil experienced when we were having street food in Japan. As all good stories start, we met a very nice Frenchman who knew everything about every team and every player in all of France. And I wish I could remember his name. And he described Schatz.
Pierre Jean-Claude?
Yeah, Pierre. Pierre Jean-Claude was his
name.
And he described, in his perfect English, and as we were embarrassingly, one language, unilingual.
Yeah, we were talking like Joey Barton.
Let's do Joey Barton's talking to this incredibly cultured French fella.
Incredibly cultured, handsome. He's magnificent.
And he described Camille Schatt as, well, is throwing as throwing pizzas. He looks like he's throwing pizzas.
And one thing with France we haven't touched on is how is the Sean Edwards appointment going to go?
Either really well or really badly.
Which is what we're saying about everything with France. But that's how I feel. Now, he's not going to stand for people having their pastries and cigarettes in between the team runs. But will that go down well with the players?
Maybe that's part of the reason why they're so young, because they need to get rid of the old ways.
Yeah.
I told you the story that I heard.
Do you reckon that they're scanning them for croissants on the way in? Sniffer dogs and whatnot.
I told you the story that I heard from a very well-known person about Sean Edwards, who, when Wales were in camp at a Six Nations game a couple of nights before a match, he took himself out to the cinema, watched the new Rocky film, came back in the hotel. These players were walking behind him. He didn't know anyone was there. And he was walking through the lobby of the hotel, shadowboxing.
I love that.
Excellent stuff.
What a top man.
He's got his work cut out with him. But maybe you're right. Maybe this young generation is just what he needs.
Yeah,
I'm toughen them up.
Totally open-minded on this. I think if you're going to have a foreign coach in, defence is a great place to start, because defence is defence, no matter what language you're speaking, and the cultures are basically the same.
Well, there's very little to translate, isn't there?
Yeah, yeah.
Line speed.
Wolves.
Exactly. La Wolf.
La.
Perfect. Whereas attack, you wouldn't want to, an Anglo attack structure, for want of a better word, or a New Zealand attack structure. You've got to let the French just be the French.
Let
where
the boys play.
Yeah.
Let
so, yeah,
play.
I'm open to it working.
Is Wayne Pivac? Pivac?
Pivac?
Pivac? Pivac?
Pivac?
Is Wayne Pivac going to let the boys play?
This is the start of one of rugby's saddest and darkest times for Wales now. This is basically what I think. I hope it works. I really hope it works. But I think Gatland has papered over so many cracks. And now we've got a coach who is a very good coach, but he's not the best coach of all time. Taking over, I think we're going to be.
We are going to need to get this on a button. Pivac.
Pivac.
So, yeah, you think? Because I quite like the look of that squad.
They're going down hard. I think. Pivac did an amazing job with Scarlets. He took them from mediocrity to winning the Pro 14,
mm-hmm.
And he did it with some style. As well, but it was all predicated on turnovers and a very unique style of rugby, and it felt like over the recent couple of years that style people have slowly started to catch up with it, slowly started to counter it. Whereas Gatland, he's never been that exciting, but he's always been pragmatic. He's always rotated his strategies, even if just slightly. There was always some tactical genius to what he did. It remains to be seen whether Pivot can do that. And when you're an international coach, you can only play the cards that you're dealt. You don't get to go out shopping. You can to a certain degree, I guess. You went to get Tompkins and Will Rowlands and a few others. But
who will be wearing that 13 shirt? How will you feel? Let me put it another way, because the team will be announced.
Well, apparently George North's wearing it.
Yeah, I was going to say, how will you feel if you see George North in that 13 jersey?
Vindicated.
What, that he should, or that it's going to...
There's
going to
be an awful, awful long 10 years.
I would be worried if I was Welsh and I saw George North. Mm. No, maybe not in the first game, but...
George North has not been a good player for the best part of 2 years. He shows flashes occasionally, like very, very occasionally.
I would just put... I watched him play 13 at Munster for Ospreys, and it just doesn't look right.
This sounds an awful...
Just put a round peg in a round hole. Mm. It's better to have someone that knows that position at international level. Better to have someone that knows that position.
Throw the kids in.
Can do it competently than to roll the dice like that.
Why bring in Tompkins when you've got a clear and obvious need for him and not use him?
Yeah. And Tompkins has got a perfect introduction to international rugby, playing Italy in the first week.
Yeah.
Great.
That's a great shout.
Blood him, get him the nerves out of his system and stick with him.
And out of form, I mean, George North, this sounds like an awful thing to say, but when I watch George North playing now, he almost looks like he's playing scared. When you watched him originally, he was big, muscular, he's picking up Israel Folau, throwing him about, nothing could stop him. And I think his experience in the Premiership, maybe even the concussions, it seems to just have taken 5% off him. And I think at the very top end, you've got to be playing 100% all the time and be amazingly gifted like he is. But he's not the player he was. And if he's 13... don't know how he can do it. Simple as that.
And I do worry if he's lost the yard of pace. Because he's only young still, 27. But he's a big, heavy boy.
He's huge.
110 kg, there or thereabouts. And it's hard to keep that pace.
So, I think in size and weight-wise, I don't think he's far off Jamie Roberts.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he's a lot more athletic than Jamie Roberts. But he's not got the mental game of Jamie Roberts. So, you're looking at a guy roughly the same size, more athletic. You think, how can this possibly go wrong faster? You need that mental ability to pick yourself up and smash into the line again. Pick yourself up, smash into the line again.
So presumably, and again, I can't remember exactly who is fit, but is Liam Williams fit? He's not, is he? So
he was in camp. He's looking fitter.
Yeah, I don't think he's fit.
If everyone was fit, then you're making a call in the back three between Halfpenny and North, right? Because you wouldn't, you don't think he's going to start Reece Sammet, do you?
No, Reece Sammet's on the bench, allegedly.
Oh, really? Is that the reported?
Yeah, this is the reported rumour.
With Halfpenny in the back three?
Yeah, Halfpenny's going to be at fullback again, reported.
And Williams and Adams on the wings?
I don't know. Or North. The answer.
Oh, that's interesting. Right, well, we'll see. But I think they've got enough round pegs to go in round holes that they don't need to start experimenting.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at the backs, and of course the backs are important, everyone's important, but are they as important as the back row? And I think that's where Wales will get off the hook a lot. This Six Nations, they're going to win, they're going to beat Ireland. They'll probably be competitive next game before the rot really starts to set in. But they have got an amazing back row. You've got Tipperick, you've got Faletau back, you've got Wainwright, who was amazing over the World Cup. Or you can go for Shingler, who Pivik really likes.
Brilliant
or
options.
You can go for Moriarty.
Navidi.
Navidi, who's
class.
A bloody good player. So, there's a lot of options that they've got there.
Loads.
Yeah, the back row probably their strongest individual position.
Their pack's, well, so then their pack's going to be really good.
Yeah,
well,
pack's good.
Kind of. I mean, kind of. So, they've got those back row options, which even England would say,
we'd take a few of them.
Yeah, we'd have Faletau. We'd definitely have Faletau. I'm not sure you'd be that keen on taking all the Welsh front row. I don't think you'd be interested in taking the second best lock that they have. You might even argue that England's best lock is better than Alan Wynne Jones. Controversial, but Itoje's a superstar.
Potentially now, yeah. For England, I would take Ken Owens. Definitely.
I wouldn't take him over Jamie George.
Not over Jamie George. I'd have him LCD, who's actually out.
LCD's looking really good this year.
He's out.
Tom Dunn.
Game, though, yeah.
Tom Dunn. I tell you, for England,
Tom Dunn's a handy player.
I don't know if he's been retained in the squad, but the guy I absolutely love at the moment is Will Stewart.
Yeah,
I imagine he'd be. No, he won't be on the bench, will he? I wouldn't imagine he'd be on the bench for this one.
It depends. I do wonder what, because Eddie Jones has had Harry Williams, who's the other tight end prop, in the squad before and not liked him. So I do wonder if he's judged Harry Williams not to be a test match animal.
Fair point.
And if he's
monitoring their walk back sessions, then the picture that was doing the rounds showing Maro Itoje and Ellis Genge. And who else? Who was the other one?
Jamie George
and Mako grimacing while Harry Williams, like, he's just popping down the shop with some baguettes in the basket on the front of his bike.
Genge in that picture looks in some shape.
He does, doesn't he?
He looks
his arms
massive.
He does look
absolutely
massive.
Enormous.
I didn't have him down as being. And I don't know whether it's the perspective of
I think there's a bit of perspective, but also the definition on his arms and legs.
Doing exercise as well. I saw a picture of Brian Habana just finishing off with the battle ropes. Unbelievable.
His arms are ridiculous.
Mm. So that's some in-depth analysis on England's what bike session.
Wales's chances, Jay, you're not very...
They'll beat Italy. They'll beat Scotland. They'll lose.
They've got Ireland at home, right?
Yeah, they're not winning that. Forget that.
Ireland at home?
Yeah, Ireland at home. Definitely. Look at the Ireland team. I mean, they're just not. This is not a Gatland-esque team. It's not going to happen. Gatland's team. Unless.
Look at the players they've got.
Yeah, there's a lot of experienced players in there.
Let's just look at it a different way, okay? So I was thinking about this when I was walking the dog. I was thinking about it deeply. And
Thinking about it deeply.
Three cheers for the dog.
And who are the Welsh players that stand out in domestic rugby, consistently win?
I don't watch Welsh domestic rugby.
Exactly. But there's none in the Premiership,
Nick,
is there?
Nick Tompkins.
Nick Tompkins.
Liam Williams.
Liam Williams, yeah, okay, fine.
They were whisker away from a World Cup final.
No, Gatland was. Josh Adams, in fairness to him, is a legitimate talent. He did it with Worcester.
He is class.
Now look across
the World Cup.
The bridge to Cardiff, no thanks. Ospreys, no thanks. Dragons, no thanks. Scarlets on their day, okay, fine.
If you were picking a British and Irish Lions team to take on South Africa this weekend, you'd pick a fair few Welshmen.
Yeah, you might.
You would.
You might. I don't know. I mean, which
There's
ones?
No might about it. Liam Williams.
Alan Wynn.
Alan Wynn, yeah.
JD if he was fit.
JD if fit. Bigger would be in the mix because there's no standout 10 at the minute. Oh, no.
Actually, Bigger is
it'd be Farrell.
Outrageously good.
It'd be Farrell.
Scrumhalf's good.
Yeah.
Scrumhalf's very good.
Webb's back in there now.
Faletau would possibly be number 8.
I don't get the Webb selection one bit.
Yeah, Faletau would be number 8. In fact,
yeah, certainly with a bit longer, and if Billy's out, he's definitely number one.
My point is, Welsh domestic rugby is rubbish.
That's what makes them good.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the Welsh team was then predicated on Gatland making them work really, really hard.
Yeah.
And if that galvanisation of Gatland is no longer there, what do you have? A bunch of depressed blokes coming into camp who spent the last 6 months with Ospreys and hate professional rugby.
But then, on the flip side, their whole existence is ticking off the days. And when they get into Welsh camp, it's like a weight's lifted off their shoulders and they're suddenly liberated.
Liberated to play.
Yeah.
Or they've had to leave one of their nice, cosy English clubs to go to, I don't know, a Welsh camp. Goes both ways, I guess. Oh, I don't know. Maybe they'll do better than I think. But let's give them the benefit of the Six Nations. Let's see how they go, and then I'll make a decision. But I'm not overly confident.
You're not putting anything on the whiteboard?
No.
No.
We need to strike another thing off the whiteboard.
Yeah, I mean...
By the way, Saracen's top four is not my fault.
No, I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that. That's fine. But then we do need to start putting things on the board.
Yep. Right, last game?
Well, last team.
Last
so
team,
Wales
sorry?
Versus Italy.
I know nothing about Italy, so over to you, boys.
Dean Budd's in there.
Perfect, ideal.
Parise's not in there, but he's going to have one game to see out his career.
Why?
One final game.
Why?
Because he wants to say goodbye in Rome.
Losing style?
Yeah. For the last time.
And, oh, that's fair enough.
And is it fair enough? I yeah. hate this. It's not... How can
no,
you,
no, you're right.
How can you go from... You've got to win. Get keep
every
the kids
game,
out.
Every
we must
game.
Win. For his sake. No, these are valuable spots. And if I'm in number eight, you know, making my bones for Zebra or whatever it is...
It was a natural disaster that prevented the farewell. The third or fourth top cap in world rugby history has got.
Mm.
And doing that for a nation like Italy and at times carrying them single-handedly.
Another loss.
I would agree with you if it was England. I wouldn't like it if it was...
Talk about bigotry of low expectations.
No. Well, maybe. But I would agree with you if it were England. I wouldn't like it. But
you Italians don't deserve better.
I'm happy to make an exception.
The sympathy game, the sympathy off the bench game for 1 minute.
As we said earlier in the show, if there's anyone who can bend the rules that no man is bigger than the team.
Yeah, when he was good...
Yeah, he's got enough credit in the bank.
I don't know. I don't like it. I won't be supporting this. Particularly as, like, you know, Pledre is playing now. Pledre will be taken on the mantle left by Sergio, specifically in the carrying role.
Yeah, just as he dreamt as he was growing up a boy.
Absolutely right.
Other than that, good luck to Franco Smith.
Yeah. Oh, is that the new coach?
New coach. Yeah. Former Cheetahs coach.
Good luck to him. Former Cheetahs coach, wow. Okay, so I guess we're going to have to pick a player of the tournament and whatnot.
Yeah, pick a player of the tournament, pick a winner, pick maybe a sleeper, a surprise,
I'm gonna pick,
surprise package.
As my player of the tournament, I'll come back to that. England are going to win it, maybe with a Grand Slam. Player of the tournament is going to be... It's going to be a Saracen. Because this is their only real opportunity. I mean, they can win Europe, but they're going to want to go out in some style. It hurts me to say this because I know he's going to get a red card. I think Owen Farrell to be player of the tournament.
You might have cursed him with that. Every time you said he's going to do badly, he does amazingly.
I think England as well. I think quite possibly with a Grand Slam. Player of the tournament. I'm also looking at... I am looking at England as well.
Yes.
God, am I being really parochial with this?
Mm.
That's a danger.
It could be an Irishman.
No, it could be an Irishman. Mm. Maybe this could be a Brit... Do you know what? Genuinely, I think now he's been handed the keys and he's been handed the shirt, Jordan Lama.
Mm.
Lama's not a bad shout.
By the way, who's Irish captain?
Sexton.
Oh, what a boring choice that is.
Right. I'm going to go for another Irishman. I'm going to go for Gary Ringrose.
I did think about Ringrose.
I think Ringrose. With a notable mention to James Ryan, who I think will be immense.
Yep.
Sleepers? Or, well, youngsters, rising stars, whatever you want to call them.
Someone from France who you don't know yet.
Yeah, I think you're probably right on that.
So I think one... Whoever wins in the battle of the 10 jerseys, whoever starts 10, I think he's going to show some real magic touches. I think Entomac might play 12, so it might be Carbonell starts.
What a name. He's destined for greatness with that name.
Yeah.
Who is, I mean, all three of them are absolutely class.
Hmm.
So you're going for Carbonell. Breakout star... I think it could be set for Ben Earl.
Ben Earl's a great shout.
It's not a bad shout. Does this not feel...
Or Caelan Doris.
So if Ben Earl plays, do you not think there's a danger of him doing a Sam Simmons that happened a few years ago, where Sam Simmons scored, I think, a hat-trick against Italy?
Yeah, he did.
And then was just found, at the time, to be a little bit too lightweight for international rugby and really
they
struggled.
They are so similar, those two.
They are so similar.
I mean, the only difference between them is, I think... Simmons is a little bit more like steppy, and I think Ben Earl's a bit faster in a straight line.
Maybe. But they
do almost, the same thing.
And they're almost identical size as well.
Yeah.
They're so similar.
And is he going to make changes later in the tournament anyway and bring in a guy
Don Brandt?
Because Don Brandt could still be the breakout player of the Six Nations.
He could be. You're right.
That'd be a real sleeper.
Yeah, it would. Didn't get paid for the first two games.
Yeah, it's probably going to lie in France.
Yep.
I'll tell you another option for the breakout player. If Scotland get their things together, George Horn, if he's afforded the chances to start, he is electric. He's brilliant.
So. Well, the question is, who would start ahead of him?
Price, possibly.
Price. There's no more Greg Laidlaw.
Nope.
So there's every chance that he can win that position.
I would start George Horn, particularly given that Finn Russell's not there. You need a spark.
By the time you're listening to this podcast, you may already have the teams. If not, well, we'll see how we get on compared to that. But one thing is for sure, we will be back talking about the Six Nations this weekend. Hit subscribe in that channel. Don't forget to go back and listen to the Saracen Salary Cap podcast, which is ever so slightly out of date already.
Yep.
Within 24 hours of us doing it.
And this time, well, by next podcast, I reckon I'll have some rather large news to talk to you about regarding Saracens.
You little tease.
I know.
Interesting.
Very large news, actually.
Very large.
Enjoy the Six Nations, and we'll see you at the weekend. Let the boys play.
Let the boys play.
Nice.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.